You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Well, Paul, we got a caller calling in here.
Ooh, an early morning caller.
A hot one.
Let's take it.
Wausau Business Show. Hello, who's this?
Why, it's August Kickbush, of course.
Oh, Paul.
Wow.
Hi, Mr. Kickbush. First mayor of Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
What can we do for you, Mayor?
Yeah, calling from the heavens, are you?
Why, of course I am. Where the hell else would I be calling from?
Oh, you son of a gun.
Good dad
Never
joke.
Never lost that humor.
Where the hell else would I be calling?
I get it.
Well, what can we do for you, Mr. Kickbush?
I walked all the way from Milwaukee to Wausau for you, Wausonians.
Yes, thank you for that.
Are you doing the August Kickbush competition this year to honor me?
Oh boy.
That was a lot of work last year, Mayor.
Yeah. What's our excuse? A lot of work, I think.
We've been busy with other things, Mr. Kickbush.
Very busy.
Too busy to honor me, the first mayor of Wausau, the founding father of Wausau.
Well, we try to do that in other ways every day.
We're always honoring you. I live my life to honor you, Mr. Kickbush. But for those of people that don't know, maybe the new listeners,
sure.
Last August we did the August Kickbush competition.
Was a real
celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the winners were from Weinbrenner.
That's right.
The Weinbrenner team, kind of.
They kicked it 99 feet, if I remember.
They kicked a can of Bush in August. It was the August Kickbush celebration competition. And it's going to be, is it biannually, Mr. Kickbush?
Well, whatever do you mean?
You know, Paul, when something gets done twice a year or every other year,
yeah, I guess
is that
mixed up.
Both called biannually?
That term is used for both.
Okay,
I can tell you
all
that.
Right, all
I don't know if it's appropriate or
Mr.
not.
Mr. Kickbush, we always intended on the August Kickbush celebration competition being every other biannually.
What we
every
think
other
is
year.
Called biannually.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I will look forward to next year, Ryan and Paul.
Yeah, so will we.
Us too. Back at the 400 block next year. Well, thanks for calling in, Mr. Kickbush. What are you up to today? Getting ready for that Packer game or anything? Or?
Oh, yes. Go Jordan
Love. Well, the Packers are pretty heavenly, so I understand why you'd be watching.
Yeah,
let's go.
Well, I love listening to you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mr. Kickbush. Take care. All right, let's get on with the show. Episode number 60. Here we go with episode number 60 in the summertime. Winding down, almost back to school.
Let's keep it going.
The Wausau Business Show.
Back to life, back to reality. Back to life, back to reality.
KPIs and thunder thighs.
That's right. Full of metrics and merriment.
Full of ROI and sweet apple pie.
Yummy.
It's the Wausau Business Show. Hello, Wausonians. We are open for business.
Yes.
Paul, what are our key performance indicators, KPIs, anyway, of the Wausau Business Show? Any idea?
Maybe the Wausau population?
The population of Wausau.
Yeah,
that could be good. The Wausau Business Show exists to help build the population of Wausau as a celebration of Wausau. Who wouldn't want to live here?
Bring people to our beautiful city.
Wausau, Wisconsin,
USA.
You know, the population of Wausau is like 39,996, I think it said on the sign.
Yeah.
Last I passed it.
So four away from 40,000.
Four away from 40,000.
We can do it.
Just four people.
40,000 is a very modest goal.
Who do you think the 40,000th person would be? I wonder if they track that at the city hall.
Well, I wonder if that's already happened since that sign has been made.
We've done it.
Let's assume we've done it and find the 40,000th
person.
40,000th person.
Yeah, the friend of a friend competition worked, Paul.
We did it.
We're going to be awarding the friend of a friend competition winner in the next couple of weeks, and they will be handsomely rewarded with a $10,000 check.
Exciting and fun and good for Wausau.
Speaking of moving to Wausau, you know, the one of the big realtors in town is Owen Jones. He's got like Jones Real Estate.
Yeah, right, right.
And then I think he owns Tommy Docs and other stuff.
Cool, yeah.
He's going to be coming in. Not a guest on the show this week, but coming up. And what better way to figure out what's going on with people moving to Wausau than to talk to a realtor.
I love it.
He's one of the top.
Let's find out what he has to say about moving to Wausau.
He'll be coming up on a future episode of the Wausau Business Show, but who's coming up this week, Paul?
Okay, so now, this week, we have United Way...
Hello!
We have the United Way Executive Director, Jeff Sargent.
Great last name.
And Ben Lee.
Ben Lee.
Also from the United Way.
You want to know Ben Lee's title?
Of course I do.
I always get it wrong, so I'm looking it up. Director of Community Impact.
That sounds very important.
United Way, yeah. Yes.
Looking forward to talking to Jeff and Ben later in the show.
And Jeff Sargent has a big announcement he's going to make coming up.
Love that.
The United Way of Marathon County is very unique and does important work in our community, and we will hear all about it coming up.
Can't wait.
Did you hear the new skate park opened up, Paul?
Yeah, it's back in action, I hear.
What's that park that it's by?
Oak Island?
Oak Island, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they could use the State Park Speedway jingle. Okay. State Park Speedway is kind of going away now, unfortunately.
Right. Right, sad.
But they could use, they could call it Skate Park Speedway.
Okay.
Skate Park Speedway.
Yeah, feeling like that.
Great in 20 and have a good time. Skate Park Speedway.
I like the speedway part. I guess they do go kind of fast on skateboard.
Yeah.
Ripping sick tricks in 26. Have a good time.
Skate Park Speedway. Skate Park. Skate Park Speedway. That's Skate Park.
Oh, yeah. Skate Speedway. Park Speedway. I've got the, it's in my head since 1984.
We got to go by that skate shop and interview those guys too downtown, right next to the Mint, that skate shop.
Yeah. Speaking of skateboards, that's a cool store.
They are very, it's, I think it's the coolest store in Wausau.
Like, yeah, yeah.
In terms of just real super cool stuff and people.
Yeah.
Go in there.
I think of people who know how to skateboard.
pretty cool.
Didn't you interview Tony Hawk once?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't need to talk about that, okay. Paul.
Sorry I asked.
It was at Disney World.
Yeah. Oh, even cooler.
Speaking of cool, Shay Reif is going to be in here. Wausau Business Show correspondent, Shay Reif.
Yeah, she works the sidelines for us.
Sideline reporter, sports reporter for the Wausau Business Show. She's got a Packers update for us.
Okay, good. Always appreciate those.
We've got a special surprise for her. I don't want to say what it is. Okay. We've got a special surprise for Shay Reif.
I think she's going to be very excited.
She's been a Wausau Business Show reporter now for a little over a year.
Yeah.
I think she's earned this surprise.
Yeah, she's been a loyal employee, that's for sure.
Oh, and I wanted to ask you, have you been over like on Rib Mountain Drive? Is it Rib Mountain Drive? Yeah, Rib Mountain Drive lately? You know, the Chipotle. Is open now, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I go on Rib Mountain Drive every week.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you know where the Barnes & Noble is?
Yeah.
And you know where Oriole Drive is across from the place where you donate plasma?
Yeah.
But it's next to that Mexican restaurant over there, too, that we never go to, but should.
Oh, yeah. El Mascal, I think.
Yeah. And there's that old house on the corner of Oriole and Rib Mountain Drive that looks like a haunted house. Like, it looks dilapidated and it was going to just fall down almost.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? It could be a haunted house.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking
about.
On
the corner of Oriole and Rib Mountain Drive?
Yeah.
They tore it down now.
Oh.
They tore it down finally. I used to know the guy that lived there.
Finally, like it's been years. Well, they should have torn it down because it's so haunted?
There would be like a Jeep in the driveway.
Okay.
And it just looked like nobody could possibly live there. But then there'd be a Jeep in the driveway. So somebody must have lived there.
Or at least coming and going.
But it hadn't been painted in probably 50 years.
Oh, I needed a paint job.
It was like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah.
And the trash cans would be out, you know, for trash days.
So it was a functional house.
It seemed like I never saw anybody walking in or out of it.
Interesting.
But back, like, you know, when I worked at WIFC when I was like 16, I remember one of the account executives, AEs, his name was Rick.
Oh, Rick.
And he used to live in that house.
Was it as dilapidated back then?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, it's been 30 years and it hasn't been touched, but now it's torn down.
Okay.
And.
Okay. Oh, wow.
We
got something here.
It is confirmed by. Who confirmed this? WSAW.
Okay.
Channel 7.
Okay.
Our friends over there, Chad Franzen and Mark Holly, who work in the weather department, not the news department.
That's right. Chad.
their organization.
And Mark, of course. Okay. Go ahead.
That haunted house is being demolished and will turn into a dermatology clinic and some apartments.
Okay. So they're going to fit all of that on this piece of land.
The haunted land. Yes.
Okay.
Congratulations, you guys.
Good.
Okay. And we have another big Wausau business rumor. We've been talking talking for years about Carmelo's being sold in Red Mountain.
Yeah, that rumor's been going around for a long time.
Buddy. And I'm always like, well, it's just, you know, we just ran into Peggy Oliva, and she said it's not for sale.
Yeah, that's right. Well?
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 There is a for sale sign, at least on the part across from Carmelo's.
Like that driving range?
The driving range.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to play Price is Right?
I didn't know they owned that, but I guess they had to with the with the driving range being there. But of course I want to play Price is Right.
It's listed, and it's publicly listed for sale, just the driving range for now.
Okay.
But if it's the driving range, you know the rest, the whole kit and caboodle.
Everyone starts with the driving range, and then they sell their golf course. Yeah,
yeah. Tried all this time.
Yeah, tried and true concept of real estate selling.
First, you sell the driving
range. Everyone knows that. And then you go do the golf course.
The restaurant, sure. Maybe last.
Maybe last. Maybe they'll keep it. You know, that one's a little more hard to predict.
34 acres.
Okay. I was going to ask how big. 34 acres,
the driving range, and then I think there's some more property beyond the driving range, but 34 acres.
Okay, so I can, and let me see. So let me just think through this.
Mixed residential, I think it's zoned.
Okay, you're giving me a lot of information. That's probably helpful.
It does have sewer and water.
Okay.
Kind of connected, but it would have to be run.
But it would be relatively easy. That's good land. It's in a great area, developing area in Rib Mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably worth a lot. 34 acres. Let's see. $1,000 an acre would be $34,000. That seems too low. Hold on.
What's a million times a million? If you sell a million.
Can I blow your mind? Take you down this rabbit hole?
All right, go ahead. Just name a number.
2 million. Did I go over? Because then I'm disqualified. I think I get a second guess if I didn't go over.
Too low.
Okay.
Yeah, you didn't go over.
So Price is Right rules. I'm still qualified. Yeah. Sort of bending the rules, but
$1. $1.
Classic $1. I'll buy it. I'd buy it today for $1.
Carry the one.
3.5 million.
Sure. Final cap. All right. 3.75.
Oh, million. Okay. Close. That's a hefty piece of land.
That is a hefty piece of land. And I would, I'm just betting. I'm a betting man. I'll bet you $10 that they don't sell it for 3.75 million.
I don't know if I'll take that bet because.
Really?
It'll probably go for less. They always list it high.
Yeah.
But you might get some buyer from Chicago or California coming in and say, that's cheap. I'll buy it for $4.5 million.
I'm a New Yorker.
Bidding war.
What do I care?
Yeah, there's a New Yorker against some guy from California in a bidding war.
Well, I hope they keep it local.
Yeah, I do too.
I hope somebody. It's a great Wausau business rumor, though. Finally put to rest.
Yeah, well.
It's officially starting to go for sale.
At least the driving range.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back on the Wausau Business Show with Bentley, Director of Community Development Impact. I always get it wrong. Director of Community Impact.
Right.
And Jeff Sargent, the Executive Director of the United Way of Marathon County. Coming up on the Wausau Business Show.
I love you, Wausau.
Yeah. I love you more than a phantom when the bass hits the hook. When the guy gets the girl at the end of the book. But baby, this might be the last time I get to lay you down. Cause I can't love you more than my hometown.
Wausau, Wisconsin, USA. Home to NFL legends Dave Craig, Jerry Wunsch, Jim Otto, and the man they call the Wonder of Wausau, Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch. This is the Wausau Business Show with JV backup quarterbacks Ryan and Paul.
At Incredible Mortgage, we have what it takes to get you into a new home fast. How fast? Our 20-day close guarantee means you can be move-in ready sooner. Fast pre-approvals empower you to make an offer when you find the perfect home. Plus, our home loan experts are incredibly responsive, always ready to answer your questions. Let's make your home ownership dreams a reality. Are you ready? Visit us at IncredibleMortgage.com to get started. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Wausau's number one.
Number one.
The Wausau Business Show.
Long may you run. Long may you run. Although these changes have come, with your chrome heart shining in the sun. Long may you run.
It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And now we have Ben Lee, Director of Community Impact, and Jeff Sargent, Executive Director of the United Way of Marathon County.
Hey guys.
Wausau Business Show, welcome.
Welcome, guys. Jeff and Ben.
Okay, so the United Way, but before we talk about the United Way, you're a musician in your free time, right? Kind of a hobby?
songwriter, singer-songwriter? It's fair to
also
say.
Also debatable.
Okay. Has Jeff ever heard you any of your work?
No, I think there's been a couple petitions for me to bring a guitar into the office, and I never have.
Oh, wow.
I gave him a guitar.
Yeah, it's still sitting on my porch right now. It's my porch guitar.
I'm surprised you guys have worked together.
You keep it outside. Interesting.
How many years have you guys worked together now?
Six.
Six. And you've never heard one of Ben's songs?
I hear some of what he listens to.
Okay.
And I turn it off quickly.
Okay. And you don't listen, and he doesn't listen to his own music at work?
No, I don't listen to my own music. No, my children make me listen to my own music sometimes, and I hate it. Yeah. But I would say probably like 3 or 4 years ago, Jeff stopped asking me what I was listening to when I have my headphones on.
Because he never liked it.
Yeah.
Never liked it. Yeah. And Ben, before you came to the United Way, you were in HR for Foot Locker in Wausau when it was booming, right?
Yeah. I mean, I worked for half of my tenure there. I worked directly for East Bay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other half of my tenure, I was promoted into a role within Foot Locker.
Yeah, so we're targeting Art and Rick. They got a new book being published by Harvard Business Review, and we're hoping to have them on the show here in the next few months.
Is it about the climb of East Bay?
It's about the climb and the IPO of East Bay and how they kind of were on the forefront of sneakerhead culture.
Yeah.
And how they kind of brought that into America.
Yeah, it was, I mean, obviously I didn't work for Art and Rick, but I worked under their legacy.
Yeah.
And it was a fun place to work. It was a blast.
And what a cool story they have, you know.
So what, you know,
out of the back of their car and
out of the trunk of their car. Yeah, it's a real entrepreneurial, heroic story with a great ending. Although I hear they're disappointed that they sold when they sold. So we'll have to get into that.
You will have to get into that. Yeah. I've heard some of that.
Yeah, that they regretted selling, that they wish they still owned it, East Bay. But Ben, while we're on the subject, what happened? Because you were there during kind of the downturn then, right? At Foot Locker in East Bay?
Well, Jeff got me before that all happened.
Okay.
It was just a matter of timing. And so
But you saw the writing on the wall or not? That didn't have anything to do with you coming over the United Way?
No, it really didn't. Okay. I saw the writing on the wall. I think I would have been fine staying at Foot Locker. I could have had a long career at Foot Locker.
Yeah. They would have shipped you down to Chicago or not?
Yeah, I was offered jobs in Bradenton and Canada and things like that.
Yeah. Chose to stay in Wausau, Paul.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I wanted to stay in Wausau and I also wanted to work in nonprofit. Okay. And Jeff and I got connected at the right time for my position. I'd already hosted Turkey Trot about 5 times, a handful of times at that point in time.
As a volunteer?
No. East Bay used to own Turkey Trot.
Okay.
And I was responsible for putting it on.
It was a flex.
And
East Bay used to own Turkey Trot.
Yeah. It was there. Okay. It was there. They started it.
Yeah,
it was their baby. Oh. And then when I left the organization, they asked me to take it with me. Because
you knew it all.
I knew it so intimately. And so then it became the United Way Marathon County Turkey Trot. We were able to bring it in-house. But Jeff and I meeting and then this job opening was just a matter of timing. I did not have any qualms at the time that I was with East Bay. I was having a good time there. But this felt like the right move for me.
Yeah, and you've been there for 6 years. And Jeff, you had been there for a few years before Ben joined the team.
Coming up on 9 years.
Okay. And you have a special announcement, breaking news on the Wausau Business Show. I don't think it's a secret, though. You're retiring at the end of the year now.
I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Who is taking your place?
Don't know that yet.
Okay.
They're working on it right now.
I'm excited. There's probably a subcommittee and a search committee.
And they're interviewing people. And
okay. So for people that don't know the United Way, Jeff, you've been the voice and the face of the United Way leadership team for many, many years. How would you describe the United Way's importance to Marathon County and the city of Wausau?
United Way is very important to this community. And here's why. Obviously, we raise money and we give it away to nonprofits to meet certain criteria and goals that we have established. Community is only as strong as a United Way, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of symbolic of a community that cares about itself, supports programs like United Way funds.
Yeah, because looking at the United Way is sort of looking into a mirror of Wausau and Marathon County in a way, because the United Way reflects all of us back in a way, and it is really an important element. But what you said there, I think, is really profound. You said, a community is only as strong as its United Way. And I think for people that aren't familiar with United Way, maybe explain the model, because I know people donate to a lot of different places to give back, whether that be through their time or treasure. But why should they? And it is a competitive thing when people are trying to raise funds. Why should people give to the United Way?
Well, people should give to United Way because of our mission and our goals. And right now, our goal is to lift 10,000 community members to financial stability. So we're focusing in on the importance of financial stability to the families in Marathon County. And based on the ALICE report, which is a report that really looks at people struggling to live paycheck to paycheck, struggling to make ends meet, we have over 45,000 people in Marathon County that are in that category. Mm-hmm. So a big chunk of our community are people just living paycheck to paycheck.
What is that, around 30%?
In our county, it's 34%.
Are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. The city of Wausau, 42%.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Some rural communities in Marathon County are as high as 60, 65%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of people hanging in there.
Yeah.
And they're just one financial emergency or crisis away from ruin. Mm-hmm. So it really is important. It should be important to everybody, because we're talking about your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your family members, people hanging in there, working hard, but still financially struggling.
Well, and then the model of the United Way is a little bit different than giving directly to any individual nonprofit, in that, like the Community Foundation, you guys do a really good job of vetting and holding the financials accountable, holding the leadership accountable for the various organizations that you support. You know, I know earlier this year, there was a case of fraud that happened, and a lot of people were giving to that organization directly. If that would have happened through the United Way, would there have been some stopgaps that the United Way would have put in place?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that's a key thing to any project that we support. We have to know that financially they're viable, that there's reviews there, that they have financial independent audits or reviews. So that's a key part of who we fund, is to make sure that those dollars are protected and used appropriately.
And then you deploy those dollars in the most effective way and prioritize those dollars, because I think a lot of organizations pull at the heartstrings to get direct donations, but people that are trying to be generous and have, you know, a great heart and good intentions, they might not always prioritize where the most need is. Could you talk about that in the context of the Life Report and ALICE and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole point of United Way, right? And people want to do good. Mm-hmm. If you donate to United Way, I'll go do that for you. I'll do the good for you. Mm-hmm. We'll do the heavy lifting for you. Mm-hmm. And so the ALICE report is great. We use it to guide our work. But then the Life Report fills in the gaps. We use the Life Report as well to talk about what are the needs in Marathon County. We couple that with 211 data as well.
And talk about what the Life Report is for people that don't know, and what 211 is for people that don't know.
Yeah, the Life Report is really a report built for our community that gives kind of a state of the community. Where are we thriving as a community? Where do we have opportunity to be better as a community? And it comes directly from the voices of community members. So we're soliciting that information right from community members. And when I say we, I don't mean United Way, I mean the committees, right? It's a community-wide effort, the Life Report is. So,
and it's a survey, the Life Report.
It's a survey. And then, you know, we help present that information then when it's all put together.
Yeah. And then that helps direct where you prioritize funding, right?
Yeah.
What's the 211?
Well, 211 is a helpline. So people can call 211 and they get access to resources that are available to them depending on the issue that they're having. And we have a 211 team right here in Marathon County. And there is just loads and loads of data that we're able to pull out of 211 that tells us what are the unmet needs that people have. What are the number one things that they're calling in about?
Yeah.
And then we're able to use that information and strategize fund usage, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. If the number one unmet need is this thing, how can we put some funding behind that? How can we step in and help meet that? So a really good example of utilizing 211 data is the launch of the new night pantry that's taking place at the neighbor's place every Thursday.
Okay.
That started a year ago, the conversations did, with 211 data.
Okay.
That Alice families were voicing that they were working during the day, so they couldn't get to any food pantries.
Okay.
It was one of our number one unmet needs. And so I took that data, I shared it with 13 food pantries in Marathon County.
Yeah.
And now we have a night pantry.
And it's very successful.
It's going great. And so we said, this is the data that we have. Someone needs to step into this space.
Yeah.
And it wasn't us, because we don't run a food pantry. We have really good food pantries.
Yeah.
And we worked with them on understanding that data and how it could better serve individuals in our community. And then they were able to go back and work within their boards and their processes and things like that. And so that partnership that we have with these agencies, just beyond a funding level, mm-hmm. but just that there are a bunch of people who also care, but that conversation started in 211.
Okay, cool. I get it. Jeff, what was your background before becoming the executive director of the United Way?
I was the executive director at North Central Community Action Program. And so that was an organization that worked with low-income families, people dealing with poverty, people dealing with housing issues,
okay.
instability there, homelessness.
And were you always in the kind of not-for-profit sector upon graduating from college?
Yep, my whole career, nonprofits.
Okay.
I just started in child welfare.
Okay.
So I was a social worker, worked with kids in foster care.
In the area always?
Yeah, Central Wisconsin. I was in La Crosse for about 9 years, but then came back.
And where did you
actually grew up in Wausau? So this is
a boomeranger.
Boomeranger.
Where'd never you guys thought of it that way?
Yeah, well, you will now.
Where'd you guys go to undergrad?
UW-Madison.
Oh, nice. Go Badgers.
I went online.
You took the quick way.
Yeah. How quick was it? Yeah. 2 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's quick.
So nice. Yeah. What's your favorite part of your job, Jeff, as you look back on your career as you're approaching retirement?
I would say just the people coming together to try to solve problems.
Okay.
You know, and I think that's what makes this community great. We have a lot of great organizations, a lot of people that care. You know, we have volunteers that work with us. I can't tell you how many people just want this to be a great place to live, raise their families, work here. But you can't have all the good things in the community if people don't come together to help each other out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that the United Way is kind of the intersection of the way that that happens in the community, because you guys bring together so many foundations, so many donors, so many volunteers, and then deploy those in just the perfect recipe. Yeah. Can you talk about the impact that you have had on the community in general over the past number of years?
Well, I think the impact that we're having right now is we're kind of driving everybody together to solve an issue.
Mm-hmm.
There are a ton of issues out there that could be addressed.
Right.
United Way right now, we're focusing in on financial stability. And we are encouraging, asking, and requiring in some cases, people to actually work with each other. And that's necessary because there just is not enough resources to adequately fund everything. So you have to become more creative.
Yeah.
And that requires changing the way you do things. And then that leads to different ways of solving problems. And that cannot happen in a vacuum because nobody has enough to address everything.
So how many people work for the organization?
Our organization?
Yeah.
At 17.
And how many people volunteer?
Hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds.
Yeah.
Huh. And so is the ultimate goal of your success at the United Way, putting the United Way out of business?
Oh, it'd be great.
Sure.
Yeah, I would love ironic. To work myself out of a job. I would love to not to live in a world where we don't have to do this.
Right.
All problems solved.
How close are you to making that happen? Because that would be the panacea,
not close. Not close.
Because that would mean we live in a perfect community where
utopia.
Yeah. But how do you measure how close you're getting to success? You know, because mm-hmm. you're trying to lift 10,000 people into financial stability. You're helping all these people. What does success mean? I'm being sarcastic when I say you're trying to put yourself out of business, but in a way, it's true. Mm-hmm. What does success mean short term and long term for the United Way?
We met just how do we do it? We have something called the Stability Matrix that we created, and our funded organizations are required to deploy that matrix with the people that they serve and report that data back to us every quarter.
Okay.
So right now, as of today, we have moved 4,443 people to financial stability.
Okay. Yeah. We're getting there.
Great start.
Goals 10,000. Okay.
That's self-identified by the individual. We're not saying that they're saying that they're more financially stable because of the services that they've received.
So you're nearly halfway to your goal of 10,000.
Yeah. Now, every quarter, that ticks up a little bit. Okay. We're not seeing, big 2,000 people dumps here. And that's what we suspected would happen. Every quarter, that number moves up a little bit more. We've served over 15,000 individuals since we've started tracking that goal. And more importantly, we have referred almost 8,000 individuals to other services that can help them achieve financial stability.
So when those people become financially stable, is the definition of financially stable not living paycheck to paycheck?
So it's a little more complicated than that, but overall, yeah.
Okay.
But depending on where their what the root of their financial stability is, whether it's basic needs, whether it's underemployment, whether it's childcare, or behavioral health reasons, the definition for stable is different for every single one of those things. Okay. So
can you help me tie it together? So you're funding something and that's leading to someone being financially stable. Can you maybe give me an example so it's a little clearer on how that works?
Yeah. So the highest rate of ALIS individuals in our community are single moms. 64% of female-led households with children are living paycheck to paycheck. And so let's take single mom as an example. Okay. It's already hard raising children. And now you're doing that with one person on one income.
Right.
She has a childcare bill. She has rent. She has a car payment. She has all these things, food. Yeah. She comes to us and we say, okay, let's get her set up with an agency that can give her some rent relief. We're talking $500 a month. Okay. We're gonna help her with some rent, $500 a month.
Okay.
We're also gonna help her with her childcare bill. Maybe that's another $500 a month. So we're gonna take $500 off of that and she's paying $500 less for that thing.
All right. Mm-hmm.
We're also gonna get her set up going to a food pantry. She can go to the food pantry twice a month. Okay. That's going to save her around $200 every visit. And that's going to be $400 a month.
Okay.
Now, add that up. And we're going to do that for a few months. Okay. We're going to do that for a while for her, right? Mm-hmm. So now, every month, she's saving just shy of $1,500 a month. So think of how life-changing it is to have $1,500 come back into your budget every month.
Yeah. And then, but that doesn't go on forever. How does she get off of that and get onto financial stability then?
Yep. So she gets a little breathing space here to pay down some debt, maybe get a new car, a more reliable car, maybe pay down a car loan, make sure she's caught up on rent, and then also put money away. Okay. Right. We are relieving the financial burden on that house, let's say for on average 6 to 10 months, somewhere in there. If we do it for 10 months at $1,500 a month, that's $15,000.
Right.
That household has saved, that they've been able to invest in other places, put into savings. And then we haven't even touched on the psychological effects that can have on a household. You're stopping the cycle of survival. She can focus on job development. She can focus on securing long-term affordable daycare for her children. She can focus on these other things that when you're stuck in the cycle of survival, you're worried about how am I going to keep my lights on? How do I make sure I don't get evicted? You cannot think about how do I be better at my job?
Right.
What do I actually want to do for a career?
But you're not actually just giving her money to go to the food pantry. You're organizing like credit at the food pantry. Is that how that works? Or
we're funding the food pantry so that she can go to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what's happening. So no, we're not giving cash payments to anyone. Yeah. We're not doing that. We're funding the organizations that they're accessing services at. So those services remain
And what about the apartment reduction in rent?
Mm-hmm. There's an organization that steps in and helps.
Yeah,
with that.
There's an organization that Jeff mentioned that we fund, North Central Community Action Program, and we fund them so that they can provide rent relief to families. And so they're paying the landlord directly.
These aren't
cash payments that go to tenants.
Right.
They're paying the landlord directly, and the landlord is taking that off of the total that the family owes them.
Wow.
Well, that's a good explanation as to kind of how it works.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really know how it worked, and I don't know if everyone does.
Right.
And that shows you how, when you think about 45,000 people struggling to live paycheck to paycheck, and you start doing the math, and how much all that could potentially cost a community. That's why it's so important that people care about it, because it has long-term ripple effects. Let's say you can't get these things taken care of. Then you start not showing up to work because you don't have childcare, or you're struggling emotionally.
The unraveling starts.
The unraveling begins. Yeah. So it's kind of, financial stability is really human stability at its core. And what we've tried to embrace here with this concept is we all have to care about each other and support one another, because otherwise the whole thing can start to unravel.
Yeah, it's got kind of a downside to it. Real quick, do you guys have any statistics on, so we paid single mom as the example, helped her financially, I should say, for 6 to 10 months. She comes off of it. What percent stay financially stable, and for how long? Do we know any statistics on that?
We have to wait for the next ALICE report on that. And so the ALICE report comes out about every 18 months. And then when we see it again, we'll see, has Marathon County increased? Has it decreased? Has WASA increased? Has it decreased in ALICE percentages? How many individuals are considered ALICE yet?
And ALICE is, again, just the percentage of people living paycheck to paycheck.
Asset limited, income constrained, employed.
So the win is getting that number, that percentage of people living ALICE down to as low as it could possibly be, right?
Yeah. But we have to keep in mind too that we know that there are external factors that can work into the ALICE population increasing, and we don't have control over that. I don't have control over inflation. I don't have control over the job market, how the economy is doing.
Okay.
Those things all impact the amount of people that are considered ALICE. We think what we can do as an organization is relieve the financial burden on the household for the immediate time being, to give them a hand up.
Okay.
To help them get ahead of the cycle. Because if you're just repeating that same cycle every single month and nobody's stepping in to say, we'll give you a hand, we'll help you out.
Right.
How do you ever get out of it?
So I know that you do a lot of work with the unhoused population, not called homeless anymore, right? Want to use the right vernacular?
Well, I mean, I call them unhoused because it feels best.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I know that some people still refer to the unhoused population as homeless, and you prefer that they be called unhoused.
I don't have a preference.
I think he prefers it personally.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah. Okay. But what role do you guys play in the unhoused population in Marathon County and the city of Wausau?
Correct me if I'm wrong. They wouldn't fit into the ALICE population.
They do.
Okay.
They're considered the ALICE population, but if you look at ALICE on a scale, like, right, ALICE at the high end is up here for income.
Sure.
They would be down here on the lower end of ALICE, they're coming in at that very bottom of income. Usually it's some sort of SSDI
SSDI.
Social Security Disability Income.
Okay.
Things like that. So it's on the lower end of where our income brackets are for ALICE.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, don't forget that a lot of the unhoused are working.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. I made the assumption that a lot of people do that. They don't necessarily have income from a job, but that's not true.
No, there's income. And this is where all these intersections start to become really complicated. A lot of it has to do with the housing market. You know, so if there isn't affordable housing, what we've seen over probably the last 10 years has just been this downward shifting of the housing market. And a lot of it's based on affordability and availability.
Mm-hmm.
So each level of, you know, if you want to kind of classify different levels of living, you know, middle class, lower middle class, people living in poverty, upper end living, because there is lack of housing, and what's happened in the housing market in recent years, we've seen everybody kind of ticking down in where they're getting their housing. Huh. And that just continues to sort of drive people out of their level of affordability to the point where if you're really a low income family, there really is very little affordable housing for you.
Yeah.
And you know, they consider anything 30% or less of your total income going towards housing as affordable.
Okay.
For the average person around here, they're easily spending 50-60% of their income on housing. Mm. So this driving down is then leading to unhoused, because if maybe before I could find an apartment, I mean, you might laugh when I say this, but there were days where you could get an apartment for $295 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the columns, baby.
Yeah.
It might have been a dump.
Yeah. Right, but it was
still
something.
Had a place.
Yeah. Right.
So now if you don't have any of those available and that's all you can afford, where are you going to live?
Yeah.
And, start showing up at warming centers and homeless shelters.
So how does Wausau compare to other cities and towns in the Midwest? You know, how do we stack up related to this challenge?
Well, I don't think it's a Wausau versus other cities. Okay. Housing across the board is unaffordable.
Okay.
When I first moved to Wausau, I was paying $675 for a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment a month. Mm. That same apartment is almost $3,000 today. You're not.
What year was that?
Oh, gosh. That was 12 years ago.
Okay. Whoa, so not that long ago.
Not that long ago. Nope.
And it's just basic supply and demand economics because the prices went up or
well,
what?
Well, sure. And there's other factors that go into there. That are uncontrollable by people like me, you, or even our city council, developers' opinions on what they think things should cost and then how much they have to charge to recoup their cost on those apartments.
You know? Four or five times in 12
that's
years.
That's wild.
Increase.
Oh, let me just tell you a quick story. I lived in a small little place in Merrill for a few years.
Pronounced Merrill. But
no, it's Merrill.
Okay. He's from there. He's going to tell you.
I thought it was pronounced Merrill.
I know how to read the sign.
Correction noted.
I had a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom place, $300 a month. And this was about 15 years ago. Well, longer than that, probably about 17 years ago. It was great. That same place today, and I'm not kidding you, someone screenshotted me a listing of it and said, "Was this your old place?" And I said, "Yeah." And I looked at the pictures of it, has the stove that I bought when I moved into it, has the refrigerator that I bought when I moved into it, has the same carpet, the same tile in the kitchen, all of those things. Nothing has changed.
No upgrades.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It is the exact apartment.
Fully depreciated.
That I lived in. And today, it's $1,700 a month.
Yeah.
And nothing has changed. And I'm the one who bought the appliances that are in it.
Yeah.
And then I left them there when I moved out because I was moving into a fully furnished place. And so, you know, that's what's happening around us.
Crazy.
And so I don't like to say that compared to other cities, we're good or bad. Mm-hmm. Housing across the nation is unaffordable right now.
But relative to other cities, I mean, other cities in Wisconsin, for example, have different ALIS percentages, right? That are living paycheck to paycheck. Is Wausau, you know, in the middle of the pack related to this problem or challenge? Or
is 34% high or low as compared to the rest of the state?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about where the high rent prices are, which is the city of Wausau. Mm-hmm. And the city of Wausau's ALIS percentage is 42%.
Okay.
Our rent is a little too high to have a 42%.
What's like, I don't know, Madison's? Do you know, or like Point or Eau Claire?
No, I don't know.
I think the state ALIS rate is like 32 or 33.
Yeah. Okay. So we're running
right in the middle.
Okay.
Wausau's a little high though.
Wausau's
proper.
A little high.
Yeah. City of Wausau. Yeah.
So if your efforts to move 10,000 people into financial stability are successful and all other factors are held constant.
Right. New people join the ALIS.
Yeah. Right.
Example.
That number would start trending down. And what effect would that have presumably on the community of Wausau?
Yeah, well, and that's kind of where I was going next is we talk about how great the kayaking is, the outdoor rec is, the art galleries are.
Yes, we do.
I always see and I say, and I hear you guys talk about how great it is. That's all step two.
Yeah.
The measure of a great community is how well you take care of the people in it. sure, people are going to want to live here and they're going to want to move here because they can kayak or they can do whatever. But if we're not breaking that cycle of survival for individuals
and improving the Alice percentage,
percentage, then our downtown businesses suffer. Mm-hmm. Our city policies suffer because people don't have the money to go out and frequent our downtown businesses. Mm-hmm. They don't have the energy or the time to focus on civic engagement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can't come out and participate in Turkey Trot, which in turn returns money back to this community.
Yeah, it becomes a positive feedback loop.
Yes. If they're continuing that cycle, and on the side, I'm kind of a what makes a great city nerd. I read a lot of books about it.
Okay, cool.
Any expert will tell you it's taking care of the people that live in that city. It's not kayaking. It's not hiking. Those are all great things to do, but who's supposed to participate in them when we're stuck in a cycle of survival? Mm-hmm. If I'm wondering how I'm going to keep my lights on or pay my rent, I'm sure as heck not going to an art gallery.
Right. Which, by the way, Ben, in full disclosure, Ben's wife runs the CVA in downtown Wausau. Oh,
she's
Center for Visual Arts.
And she knows that's how I feel.
Yeah. So, or she knows now anyway.
But my point is those are things that make Wausau great.
Yeah.
And I want people to participate in them. I want them in the community that I also live in.
Right.
But to be able to sustain them and keep them going, we have to allow people to live in this community and survive in this community, especially when a life emergency happens, when the bottom falls out. Mm-hmm. Are you in a community that can lift you up, or are you in a community that leaves you behind when those emergencies happen? And I want to be a community that lifts people up.
What role do employers play in, you know, providing wages that are maybe more competitive, or, you know, the job market? What role does that play in all of this? And how do you guys interact with the employers in the area?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely plays a role. We know that it's difficult to run businesses. Mm-hmm. Businesses don't have all the resources in the world. Mm-hmm. If they did, everybody would be making gazillion dollars.
Right.
And, you know, like that would be awesome. So we work with businesses in the standpoint of, help us understand the challenges you have at your companies, and then how do we factor that into when we're working with our nonprofit partners? These are the issues that their employees are struggling with and they're facing with, and then how can we continue to drive information, resources, and referrals to service providers that can assist with all the other things that start to make life complicated for people. So ultimately, they can continue to be good employees, show up at work, their companies invest in them, they mm-hmm. provide training, education, you know, hopefully they have good benefit packages, at least to help with vacation and sick time and being able to take care of their kids and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously companies have to run the way they are set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work with providers in our community to help assist families that all have different levels of employment throughout the community.
Yeah. And it's a tricky spot to be in because you guys run a company. Mm. When the cost of everything around people is rising, employers are put in a tricky spot because, like, how do you also combat that? There are mm-hmm. external factors. I have seen the job market respond to it. I think we all have. Mm-hmm. People are making a lot more money now than like when I first entered the workforce.
Right.
But it's the cost of everything around us going up.
Yeah.
I've never met a single person that hasn't had to ask for help.
Right.
At some mm-hmm. point in their
right.
life.
Yeah, right.
And that is increasing right now.
Yeah.
And so employers are also in a tricky spot. It's not the role that they play in it. I think they play it well. I think they're doing good and they're trying to respond to the environment that we have, especially in our community. I think our employers are responding to it well.
So how is that Alice percentage trending over the past number of years?
Well, it was trending down and then COVID happened.
Okay.
So the poverty rate and the Alice rate was both on a very steady decline down. COVID happened and they both sharply increased.
And they haven't come down since.
They are on a slight decline right now.
And when's the next report come out?
About a year.
Okay.
A year from now.
So we expect that to be at 20%, Ben.
Well, that would be great.
You can expect whatever you want.
But if you had a magic wand to get it to 20%, what would the magic wand do? you know?
Yeah, I think it would. I mean,
would it provide more jobs in the area? Would it provide more population to the area? Because obviously, well, yeah, what would the magic wand do?
It would reduce the cost of goods, in my opinion, so that whatever job you have is enough to live in our community.
Okay.
I think it also would help with a housing market, maybe drive down the cost of housing. Also, maybe provide more educational stipends to help pay for education for folks that maybe are out, kind of outside looking in in terms of to boost up their education credential so then they can maybe get a job that pays them better if that's what the job requires. Because, you know, like I could decide right now I want to become a welder. Well, I still have to go to school.
I still
have to pay for it.
Yeah,
and so if I'm back to that scenario that Ben talked about where I don't have a lot of cash right now, that might feel impossible to me. So,
right. Well, I mean, there's so many factors, and it gets almost, you can start talking almost in terms of political policy very quickly, obviously. And you're not a political organization, nor are we. At the Wausau Business Show.
Yeah, the Wausau Business Show is an apolitical organization. Yeah.
Thanks for having us today. All right. It's been great being on the show.
See ya. Yeah, we're not going to wade into politics. But I mean, you know, no matter what side of the aisle you are on, I think we all agree that the United Way and organizations like the United Way provide value to a community. And you guys obviously are dedicated and been doing it for many, many years. And we thank you for all that you have done for Wausau.
Absolutely.
Ben, I noticed your tattoo is here. Do you want to explain before you leave here the ink, particularly on your left hand there?
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, just gorgeous.
This one right here?
Yeah, it's like a snake.
It is a snake tattoo. That replaced mine and Tiffany's wedding rings.
She got a snake too?
Yeah.
Exactly the same?
Not exactly the same. Okay. Hers is colored and it looks a little different. Okay. Mine's black and white. But we felt like wedding rings weren't permanent enough.
Oh.
And so we
took
our wedding rings off and we got snake tattoos on our fingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you really mean it, you get a tattoo.
Yeah, you know, no big deal. So what does that say about the three of us sitting here with
wedding rings on?
Well, I guess I would just say maybe
good
step
luck,
up.
Guys.
Maybe try harder.
Did you get it done during the ceremony? Like you exchanged tattoo artist?
No, we got it was a long ceremony.
Yeah, we got it done for our 15th wedding anniversary.
Oh, cool. So,
yeah.
Cool.
You know, and now I do have to mention, Ryan, talking about wives, I have to slow down on tattoos because every time I see your wife, I have petitioned for her to put an espresso machine in the milk merchant so I can go there and get a latte when I want.
Uh-huh. Let's go, Mary. Put it in.
Yeah. And so at some point, Tiffany said, if she puts an espresso machine in there, you better be ready to go there. And so now I'm saving so that if she ever does put an espresso machine in, I'll stop every morning and get a latte.
Commitment.
That's great. Thanks, Ben. Thanks.
Well, this wasn't too bad, especially I thought we were talking about Red Lobster today.
But, well, Jeff, good luck in your retirement. Yeah. Hopefully you can.
Now he's like, we're done.
Well, you can parlay that, I think, in your retirement. You should get into recruiting of Red Lobster. Go ahead. Enjoy. It over from us.
It's hard work, but it's fun.
Yeah. Jeff Sargent, the soon-to-be retiring executive director of the United Way, and Ben Lee, the director of community impact for the United Way. Thanks for coming by,
thanks
guys.
Thanks for being here.
Guys, thanks for all you do.
Thank you. You can't even laugh into myself. If you could, you would be someone.
Scott Street Steak and Pub to the beer at Dave's Bolodog. This is the Wausau Business.
Business Show.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
The Wausau Business Show.
The Wausau Business Show.
She said, oh, hi, nice to meet you tonight. Maybe we could go dance, get up off our feet. She said, this life ain't forever. One song here together, then let's play it on repeat. We can dance all night. We can dance
in
the morning light.
It's the Wausau Business Show, and now you know. Heidi like Ho. That.
You're spitting rhymes, buddy.
And don't you know, it's the Wausau Business Show. Thanks for listening, Paul.
I do every week. Even when it's a rerun.
And now Wausau Business Show correspondent Shay Reif gives us a Packers update.
Oh, yeah.
I always like it. Here we go. Shay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Hello, Wausau Business Show listeners. You're listening to Shay Reif, the official reporter of WBS. Are you ready for Shay's top three?
Let's do it.
Number one, Jordan Love did hurt his throwing hand, his non-throwing hand,
okay.
In the first preseason game against the Jets. Surgery was performed, but he's now recovering.
Nice.
Jordan has a firm belief he will be 100% for the season opener.
Good to hear.
Number two, Matthew Golden has been performing well during preseason and practices. He has great hands and amazing speed. He will definitely be a key position to the Green Bay Packers.
Number one draft pick.
Oh, yeah. Number three, the Packers and the Seahawks had a joint practice on Thursday the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Although many fights did occur, tight ends Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft looked great.
Badasses.
For sure. Both players completed many contested catches and each got a touchdown.
Nice.
The Green Bay Packers will kick off the season playing the Detroit Lions on September 7th, and I'm predicting it right here, a Packers win.
At Lambeau.
Woo, woo. And this is Shay Reif signing off.
All right, Shay. Always a great job. Shay, you've been with us now, and we have a special announcement for you.
I'm ready to hear it.
You know, you've been a Wausau Business Show sports correspondent, well, general correspondent as well, for over a year now.
And it's been awesome, Shay.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been lovely.
Yeah, thank you. Good, good. For us, too. And we have a special announcement that we'd like to award you, Shay.
I'm excited for this, too.
Paul and I talked.
Mm-hmm.
We talked over probably a few minutes about this.
Yeah.
We came to a conclusion.
Took it very seriously.
We would like to give you a promotion.
Aww.
To Senior Wausau Business Show Correspondent.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, congratulations.
You've earned
Thank
it.
You.
You're getting ready for your freshman year of high school at Wausau
yes.
West, right?
I'm very excited.
Yeah, congratulations to the new principal. Over there, Kurt Richards. Kurt, congratulations on that. All right, Shay, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, before I leave, can I say one more thing?
Okay, of course, yes.
REI Sunflower Field, the Harvest of Sunshine, is now officially open to the public.
Nice. Jen Neuenhaus.
Yes, and you can even cut down some of your own flowers.
Are the sunflowers up and out right now?
Oh, yeah. It's prime season.
Game on. All right, Shay Reif. Thanks a lot, Shay. Okay, Paul. Well, that's it for this episode.
That went by fast.
Yeah. Coming up in the coming weeks, we've got a lot lined up. We're organizing a lot of interviews because the fall's coming. We're going to get back into the rhythm of things.
That's right.
But until then, from high atop Rib Mountain, that big glorious stick up there.
Yeah, we love it.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. The end.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserved 2025.
Hello, my name is Maureen Carlson of Greenfire Management Services. Greenfire is a trusted local commercial construction manager. Greenfire provides detailed and innovative services so you can focus on growing your business. We're all about helping companies and communities thrive, so Greenfire is pleased to sponsor the Friend of a Friend competition to support the continual growth of Central Wisconsin. Contact us today to discuss your next construction project. Learn more at greenfire.com. That's greenfire.com.
All right, here's a little known fact. The first mayor of Wausau was August Kickbush. Here's a littler known fact. He was mayor twice. Littlest known fact, Kickbush traveled back to Germany in 1867 to enlist 700 German immigrants to Marathon County. So if anyone ever asks you how you'd get more people to move to Wausau, just ask yourself, what would Kickbush do? Because he'd go to Germany and bring back 700 people. That's what he'd do. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Get to Germany. Roastar.com.
Discover the Milk Merchant, nestled in downtown Wausau's River West District, where every selection is curated with care and where every bite tells a story. The Milk Merchant brings you an exquisite collection of Wisconsin and imported cheeses, charcuterie boards, specialty foods, and unique home goods. Our love for quality food drives us to support local dairy farmers and artisans. Stop in to sample a selection of the finest Wisconsin cheeses, from Pleasant Ridge Reserve to the legendary 15-year-aged cheddar. Mention the SAT for a free wine sample. Let us curate a gift basket perfect for any occasion. Or join us on a culinary adventure by signing up for one of our events at themilkmerchant.com.
In a landscape carved by billion-year-old glaciers sits a community rich with history and opportunity. A base camp to the outdoors and the Northwoods, where miles of rivers tempt paddlers and the fresh scent of pine fills the air on every trail. A base camp to theater, to the arts, experienced through the color of diverse festivals, farm-to-table and craft beverages. A community that prides itself on Midwest nice and knows how to four-season better than any other. Wisconsin's base camp. Visit Wausau.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.